Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only, Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29, select styles only. In-store only, limit 5. Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only, Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29, select styles only. In-store only, limit 5.
All right, guys, so you know you don't have to be a WWE wrestler to have aches, pains, anxiety, or even a hard time sleeping at night. The good thing is that just like these professional athletes, you too can experience fast relief from Singi's premium CBD oil. That's right, just a drop, a single drop under the tongue will quickly bring your mojo back. Singi's premium CBD oil is made from Kentucky-grown organic full-spectrum hemp. It's non-GMO and it's CO2 extracted, which means it's super clean and pure. Singi's is also non-psychoactive, so you won't get high and you don't have to worry about failing a drug test. It's natural relief that works fast. Guys, I use this. I'm telling you, it works. You don't get that high. It just gives you all of the benefits with none of those nasty side effects. Singi's premium CBD oil. Go to singis.com. That's singys.com. singys.com. And you can use the discount code WRESTLE. It's all lowercase. That's the code WRESTLE for 15% off your order. So guys, go check out singis.com. Shipping is also fast and always free.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me. And it is now Tuesday, March 12th, 2019, as I record this. On the road, as I mentioned in my last show, guys, I am actually traveling for work right now. So I'm doing this from the luxurious hotel room of Newark, New York. Yeah, not Newark, New Jersey. Newark, New York. Google it. And once you do, that'll probably be the closest you ever get to Newark, New York. So, all right. Well, guys, I'm here to talk about wrestling. I just finished up watching Monday Night Raw, and it was a very interesting show. It's starting to set up WrestleMania in a big way as we are only 4 weeks out from WrestleMania, and we have a Brock Lesnar absentee champion once again on Monday Night Raw. We have Seth Rollins coming out to debate Paul Heyman, which I thought was very well done and felt unique. And boy, I miss Paul Heyman on commentary. He just fits that role so well. And obviously, tons of other news coming out of the show. Kurt Angle announcing his final match at WrestleMania 35. Don't know his opponent. Drew McIntyre really gaining traction on this show, getting his mojo back, and it's going to be very interesting to see his positioning on WrestleMania. I have a hunch and a theory there that I think is fairly moderate to high confidence on where they position him. And Dana Brooke coming out of nowhere like an RKO and attempting to school Ronda Rousey. I'm going to get to that. And Ronda Rousey's promo in general as well. So lots to get to, guys. Lots to get to. So thank you once again for joining me. Please give me a follow on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. I'm also on Instagram, for those of you who may or may not know, at the WWE Podcast. I don't post there as much as I should, so I may get into that a little bit more. And so I know that Instagram is more of where the cool kids are at, right? I think that's where Instagram's at. No, you got to be, it's either that or Snapchat, but I'm not on Snapchat. So, guys, I'm really all over any platform audio-wise that you can think of. And I appreciate the 5-star ratings and reviews that many of you have been giving me on Apple Podcasts. It is much appreciated. I do see them, and I do really want to thank you, because that is a awesome way to help out the show, and it doesn't cost you a dime. It just takes 5 seconds to do, and I really, really appreciate it. You just hit those 5 stars, and you're on your way to listening to this audio. And I know I have ads in my show, and if you don't like the ads, no problem. You can go to patreon.com/WWE podcast. Where this show is there, and all of my other shows and exclusive audio that only is available to patrons of the show, and it's only $1 a month. $1. Holler for $1 over at patreon.com/WWE podcast, where you can get this show ad-free and also have an opportunity to come on the show and tons of other cool goodies. I'm going to be beefing that up big time very, very soon. And guys, thank you for those of you who are patrons of the show and those of you that are just on the free audio. I mean, whether you support the show on Patreon or free, or you just send me a quick tweet and you know, give me some feedback on the show, it's much appreciated. That's what this show is for, you guys, and selfishly, it's for me. It's a great outlet for me to vent about Raw or praise Raw, which I am going to praise Raw on several fronts. Many of you have, not many, but some of you have voiced your opinions that I complain too much on this show, that it's all about bitching. It's all about just whining about what WWE is doing wrong. And you know what? Point taken, noted, and I will be focusing more on the positives. That said, you can bet your bottom dollar that when something crosses my mind or something crosses my eyeballs watching the WWE product that I feel very strongly about, you can bank on the fact that I will critique it as I see fit. So let's just keep that in perspective. But point taken, I'm going to try to balance out the show a little bit more with positivity and maybe take the New Day approach with the power of positivity, or maybe take the Alexa Bliss approach, who said she's got more power of positivity than the New Day and is more electrifying than The Rock, and that it's everybody's dream to host WrestleMania. Well, I don't know about that. How about participating on WrestleMania? Maybe that's something that is a little bit more of a dream of guys and gals in the wrestling business. But nonetheless, she's the host of WrestleMania. I don't know what to say about that. She's on the show. So those of you that are Alexa Bliss fans, as I am, I'm happy that she's on the show. So there's a positive note. The other positive thing, really big positive, probably the biggest positive of the night, in my estimation, was Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre made a roaring comeback after kind of getting lost in the sauce and getting a bit, swept under the rug for a few weeks to a month or so after he embarrassed Kurt Angle, beating him with his ankle lock. I thought he was well on his way. And then they dialed it back a bit from there, and he kind of got hidden in that Baron Corbin, Bobby Lashley, we don't have a name for our group team. And from there, I was getting a bit concerned about what are they doing with Drew. You know, when Roman returned, I said Drew McIntyre would be a perfect opponent for Roman Reigns. They would, I think, complement each other very well. They're both extremely hard workers. Drew McIntyre is clearly the future of the three in that unnamed group for WWE, and Roman Reigns is still, in the eyes of Vince McMahon, headed to the top of the card as well, and he's getting the reaction that Vince McMahon has always wanted. But ironic that it was nothing that Vince McMahon did that got Roman Reigns over. It had to take a life-threatening cancer scare to get Roman Reigns over with the fans. And if you notice, though, this is a quick side note. I'll get to Drew in just a minute. Roman Reigns is not getting booed, nor did I expect him to. He's getting the reaction that Vince wanted. But if you listen to the pitch and tone of those who are cheering him, it is still a very high-pitched tone. What this tells me is that Roman Reigns is getting cheered by those kids and women, because he's so dreamy and the kids all look at him like he's actually Superman. And the guys are just kind of just not reacting at all. They may participate in a Roman chant occasionally, but they aren't really cheering for him during a match. If you listen, and you guys may disagree with me on that, and that's cool, but I am hearing a very high-pitched cheer for Roman Reigns, which just tells me the guys are being quiet instead of booing him, while the women and kids just drool over him because he's so sexy with his long, lavish, well-conditioned hair, and he does a move called the Superman Punch, which is still an extreme pet peeve of mine. Again, I'm not moved by the cancer of Joe to cheer for Roman Reigns. I care for the man Joe. I'm concerned for the man Joe. That does not mean, by association, I have to cheer for the Roman Reigns character. And I separate that out. Those are two separate things for me. That's how deep my belief of Roman Reigns being a heel, although I understand it's never going to happen now, at least in the very near future, or even in the next couple of years, because you see what he's doing for WWE cancer philanthropy, visiting hospitals and all that. And all, of course, that is extremely important, and I support that 100%. But if anybody believes that Roman Reigns is going to turn heel, I mean, unfortunately, I think that is a dead issue for at least the next year, minimum. But again, I just separate out the Roman Reigns character from Joe the Man, and I care about Joe the Man, and I will support Joe the Man before I ever cheer for Roman Reigns the character. Okay, so I just want to, not that anybody cares, but I just wanted to, it's nice to hear myself say that out loud. It's nice because I have vehemently, passionately, at times vulgarly opposed Roman Reigns as a babyface. And I will stand by that decision until I am in the grave 6 feet under, that Roman Reigns should be a heel character. Again, I'm not stupid enough to believe it's going to happen, especially after his cancer, but nonetheless. All right. So Drew McIntyre, circling back, I told you I'd get back there. Drew McIntyre had a career-turning night on Monday Night Raw. And I don't say those words lightly. I don't know about career-defining. Those moments are reserved for pay-per-views. It doesn't even have to be a major pay-per-view like WrestleMania, although that's a hell of a stage to do it. But it was a career-turning moment. So when we look back at the career of Drew McIntyre, and you look at what he's done, and where did this start, you could point to last night. You might be able to. Yeah, he embarrassed Kurt Angle. That might have been the start of it. He came back, and he was with Dolph Ziggler, which I don't even know where Dolph Ziggler is. I don't think anybody's really asking. However, Drew McIntyre has been a guy that you look at and go, when he's on TV, you just watch. He's got that magnetic appearance of believability and just something that makes you want to watch him and also despise him and want to see somebody stand up to him and beat the holy hell out of him. So that means he's doing his job. And he brutalized Dean Ambrose to the point of uncomfortability and hitting Roman Reigns with two Claymore kicks that were brutal. I mean, I'm getting a bit concerned, like legitimately, not just wrestling fantasy storyline. I'm getting a bit concerned for that Claymore kick. How many replays are we going to see with that Claymore kick where the foot of Drew McIntyre connects with the face of his opponent? It's getting uncomfortable, where it's a concussion liability. I mean, I'm being serious. I know that he's safe and he's doing the best he can to be safe and that they're working together. I understand that. But you can't fake those replays. And they replay it and it's uncomfortable to watch. He had one that was brutal to Roman Reigns and one that was also equally brutal to Dean Ambrose after he pinned him clean on the ramp or just down off the stairs of the ramp. So again, I'm really digging what Drew McIntyre is becoming. He's becoming a true heel. And that's something very rare in today's 2019 professional wrestling presentation of what WWE believes pro wrestling should look and feel like. Is Drew McIntyre feels like he's this guy that's kind of a throwback in the current modern era. That's a compliment. I'm balancing this show out. And I really applaud WWE for the booking of Drew McIntyre last night. I think he's on a good track. And again, I believe he's on a collision course with Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And I think they are a great opponent for one another to bring out the best in each other and have a hell of a match. For now, Drew McIntyre, sky's the limit for this guy. He's 33 years old. He's got a good maybe 10 years left to make his career. And I think that he will make the most of it. I really believe that Drew McIntyre has all the tools he needs to be that top guy and hold the Universal Championship. He could very well be the first opponent for Seth Rollins if he beats Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. So, and speaking of that, guys, I'm going to take a quick break for the sponsors of the show. And then on the other side, I'm going to get to my thoughts on Brock Lesnar no-showing. I'm going to get to my thoughts on Seth Rollins cutting a pretty damn good promo against Paul Heyman, who was left speechless, at least scripted to remain speechless. And some interesting thoughts there. And obviously Dana Brooke standing up to Ronda Rousey and Braun Strowman destroying just a perfectly good car when he could have just taken it. So all of that stuff right on the other side. All right, guys, so you know you don't have to be a WWE wrestler to have aches, pains, anxiety, or even a hard time sleeping at night. The good thing is that just like these professional athletes, you too can experience fast relief from Singy's premium CBD oil. That's right, just a drop, a single drop under the tongue will quickly bring your mojo back. Singy's premium CBD oil is made from Kentucky-grown organic full-spectrum hemp. It's non-GMO and it's CO2 extracted, which means it's super clean and pure. Singies is also non-psychoactive, so you won't get high, and you don't have to worry about failing a drug test. It's natural relief that works fast. Guys, I use this. I'm telling you, it works. You don't get that high. It just gives you all of the benefits with none of those nasty side effects. Singies Premium CBD Oil. Go to Singies.com. That's Singys.com. Singys.com. And you can use the discount code WRESTLE. That's all lowercase. That's the code WRESTLE for 15% off your order. So guys, go check out Singys.com. Shipping is also fast and always free. Okay, so let me ask you guys a question. Would you like to increase your cash flow? Kind of a stupid question, right? Who wouldn't? Well, I would encourage you guys to go to 247forlife.com. That's 247forlife.com. And when you go to the site, you can just put in your email, some basic info, and you can get hooked up into an amazing opportunity where it will help you do just that, increase your cash flow. Why is it? You know, look, when you think about it, why is it that some people just seem to make money no matter what the economic climate is, while the rest of us have trouble even scraping by? Well, 3% of the population controls 97% of the wealth in the free world today. Think about that. 3% controls 97% of the wealth. So what are they doing that we're not? Head over to 247forlife.com. Again, this is not some get-rich-quick scheme. You just go to the site, enter your basic information, and you get free instant access to the most powerful wealth creation system on the internet today. It'll get you a lot closer to that 3% group. Remember, guys, they control 97% of the money. So check out 247forlife.com. You'll be glad you did. All right, and welcome back to the show. Let's talk a little bit more about Monday Night Raw and Dana Brooke, who comes out of left field, or more accurately, crawls out of oblivion, shows up on Monday Night Raw, speaks from the heart. And how do you know it was from the heart? Well, two things. Number one, I was engaged in what she was saying. I felt like I wasn't listening to somebody who was reading their lines. I felt like she believed what she was saying, which makes me believe what she's saying. Amazing, the simple formula that how simple it is to make your audience engaged, and yet it's so difficult sometimes for WWE to just let their superstars breathe. But Dana Brooke comes out and is the voice of the WWE women's locker room, talking about disrespecting what we love to do. And I loved it. She looked different at first, and I don't mean this to be funny or facetious or try to body shame anybody, but at first I thought it looked like, did she have surgery? Did she have plastic surgery? Something's wrong with her lips. Something's wrong with her face, doesn't look right. And I know, I understand, oh, you're just being a sexist pig. The women always had to wear makeup. No, but when you see Dana Brooke wearing thick layers of makeup every single time she's on camera, and then she comes out with minimal makeup, it's jarring. It's jarring. So to see her like that was a bit jarring, as I said, and I didn't know what to make of it. I didn't know if she had plastic surgery. I legitimately thought she did, but she didn't. And so that's what was my first clue, that what she was saying she was feeling. Her second, well, it's a little bit more obvious, and that is what Dana Brooke put on Twitter. And there's a lot that she said, but I'll just give you a quick snippet. She said, Dana Brooke on Twitter, "Take a look in my eyes. Last night I had nothing left to lose. I meant every word I said. I felt like I was going to cry, but I wanted to be brave for all of you. I wanted to use my platform to be the voice of all hashtag WWE Universe." I could really do without that stupid term for fans. "Listen, we only expose so much on social media, but behind closed doors we face so much. Last night, you heard Ashley. You heard the true passion behind my heart that is bottled up inside Dana. I wanted you to all see me. Every day I look like this. Not heavy makeup, hair up in the gym, grinding away to look the best I can and be the best I can be." So, I mean, she goes on to talk about more, but I appreciate this. I don't know what allowed or what shook up WWE to allow her to do this, but I like more of this. And it's very simple formula, folks. You know it's a heartfelt promo when you're engaged in it and you don't feel like they're just reading lines that they tried to memorize 10 minutes before they went out. It's much different. And so hats off again. There's another positive point for Monday night is Dana Brooke. She was a shining light. And an unexpected one against Ronda Rousey, who cut up another Speedy Gonzalez promo on us that we all need to just, I don't know, put it at half speed and listen to it again. She's got some good content, but Ronda's promos are intense. It feels like she's reading a promo, but it feels like she's reading her own promo, which is half as bad. She comes up with awkward sayings and things, and she needs to slow the hell down and so I can absorb what she's saying. It's like she has a sandwich in front of her with fries and a drink, and it's like a race to see who can eat that faster. Whoever can eat it the fastest is the winner. And it's slow down. Take your time. Enjoy it. And I feel like that's how she is. And Ronda Rousey's come a long way since she debuted, and I gave you guys my very candid thoughts on her whole deal about, oh, wrestling's fake. Her whole nonsensical rant that she put on her YouTube channel. I gave you my thoughts on that, which I won't go into now because I will go off again and repeat myself, which I don't want to do. But she comes out on Raw, and Ronda Rousey, again, says she's going to disrespect the sport and that she's going to embarrass Charlotte and Becky. And the reason that she intentionally got Charlotte disqualified was so Becky would be in the match and there'd be no conversation about who is the baddest woman on the planet and that she was the best, that she could be both, hands down, and she would be embarrassed if she even broke a sweat if it was a handicap match. This is just getting stranger by the day. I mean, first of all, there's no credibility to that. Why? Well, look what happened with Charlotte and Ronda at Survivor Series. Charlotte left Ronda laying, and Ronda was beat up with welts. So they need to drop this whole fake thing. Let's pretend it didn't happen. I understand it didn't happen on WWE TV, but people are watching social media. So I'm not following the logic here. This is the most convoluted way to get to a extremely straightforward, highly anticipated match. It's silly. So no Becky, no Charlotte on Raw. Their absences were actually missed. And I say actually because I think that fans have been getting a bit, I don't know if it's saturation or if it's just overexposure, but the convolutedness of this storyline and Becky Lynch, please, I say this again, and maybe if I say it twice or three times or more, that this will actually happen, that Becky Lynch needs to find a genie in a bottle. Maybe she can play Aladdin in the upcoming remake of the Disney movie and rub that lamp, and maybe you'll see a genie pop out. And when the genie asks what your three wishes are, don't wish for more wishes. You can do that as your second wish. Your very first wish should be, genie, I wish you to heal my leg so I do no longer have to hobble all around on WWE TV with a crutch and have my opponents attack my leg over and over and over, and have the genie grant your wish. Then you can wish for more wishes, and then maybe you can wish for a one-on-one match with Ronda Rousey. That would be how I would do it in that order. So, in that very realistic situation, that is how I would do that, and I'm just really hoping that, you know, maybe Becky Lynch is wandering the deserts of Egypt, and she will stumble across that genie in a bottle, and she will be smart enough to rub it, and out pops the solution to all of our problems. Please, please, Becky, find a miracle cure. I don't even care, honestly, if they don't even address it. She just comes out like nothing happened to her knee. I don't even care at this point. I don't need an explanation. I am tired of seeing Becky Lynch hobble around. It's just like her knee never heals. And maybe it's because, well, her opponents are always attacking it. Well, then give her a couple of weeks off. Have her come back with no crutch. And her knees 100%, we can move on with our lives. Please, please. All right. So another big point on Monday night was Kurt Angle announcing his farewell match, which will be at WrestleMania 35, against an unnamed opponent. Who could that be? There's a list, I think. I think Baron Corbin would be one. I have no problem with that. I mean, they have a long-standing history against one another when he was the general manager of Monday Night Raw. Very well could be. Maybe Bobby Lashley. I mean, who knows? There's a list of heels that don't really have opponents on Monday Night Raw. So whoever it is, I don't think it could be a too big of a name. Otherwise, it would have probably been announced to build the hype and the anticipation for that match 4 weeks out. But I'm thinking Baron Corbin is probably the front runner for this, and I'm fine with it. Have Kurt get his moment, tap out Baron Corbin, and he gets to ride off into the sunset for a career that is for the ages. And the things that Kurt Angle's done in his career, it's inhuman. And you really got to applaud the guy. And he gets a win Monday Night Raw against Apollo Crews. And I'm all for it. I mean, it was what it was. It didn't do anything. The purpose of that was just to give Kurt a feel-good moment in his final match in Pittsburgh. And I really have nothing bad to say about that. I really don't. He got his stuff in. He hit the Angle Slam and got the 1-2-3, and we moved on. And I was happy. I'm sure Kurt was happy to get that match in his hometown, a victory in his hometown. And we move on to WrestleMania 35, in which hopefully he will get a feel-good moment as he walks out the door for the final time as a in-ring active competitor for WWE. So one last thing I want to talk about too now is Braun Strowman, who I don't even know what to make of this. I really don't. Braun Strowman is in this semi-weird feud with the Saturday Night Live guys. I don't even remember their names. I probably should because this is a WWE podcast, but they're not important enough to remember. They're really not. They're really not. And anytime WWE brings in celebrities, I shake my head. Why? Because they make the celebrities and book the celebrities to be above WWE. They don't take things seriously. You had somebody come on Saturday Night Live. Again, not important enough to remember the guy's name. Some Saturday Night Live guy. Some of you guys out there are like, oh my God, it's so-and-so. Just say, you know what? I could Google it right now. I could Google it in 5 seconds and get his name. But he's not important enough to do that. I'm sorry, he's not. I watch wrestling to watch real in-ring competitors perform and wrestle each other and make me believe. Not for an outsider to come in and disrespect the sport in a real way against a guy that is and was one of the hottest acts of 2018. To be booked in some parody, probably some kind of stunt attraction match. I don't even want to call it a match because that's insulting what match means. And again, nothing's official, but you know something's going down with Braun Strowman and these two clowns from Saturday Night Live. And you know what? Shame on WWE. Shame on WWE for always bringing in celebrities to get the best of the wrestlers. And again, this has not happened with Braun Strowman yet. But look at the long list of celebrities they brought in only to make the wrestlers look like fools. Snooki. Oh, yeah. Snooki. Take a look. Snooki got a victory at WrestleMania. I mean, that in and of itself should enrage you. Yeah, it was prior, way prior to the Women's Evolution Revolution. Get it? But come on. I mean, so, there's, again, guys, the good with the bad. Oh, he's complaining again. There he goes. You know what? It's the good with the bad. And I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. If you think I rant too much, I'm passionate about WWE. And I don't do it to get clicks or ratings or whatever. Again, I've had many complaints about my rants and that all I do is complain and I'm boring or whatever. Well, you know what I have to say about that? Number one, there are a zillion other wrestling podcasts out there. I don't think you'll be bored long. So basically, if you don't like the show and you think there's too many rants and that I'm faking it, well, I can assure you I'm not faking it. Okay, this is not something I would do to and promote. Okay, so overall, I enjoyed Raw. How about that? We're going to end on a positive note. I enjoyed the hell out of Raw. I really did. I didn't think it was an amazing show, but it was a very productive, progressive show that took steps forward towards WrestleMania, which is ultimately what we're all looking at right now is WrestleMania. That is the final destination for the year-long build from last year's WrestleMania to this one. And just in closing, a couple quick comments. First of all, kind of random, but Lacey Evans, can we just get on with things? I feel like she's kind of taking the Lana approach when Lana went into a singles competitor mode and she just came out and did kind of a ballroom dancing routine week after week. And we saw weeks and weeks of vignettes and just, can we get to it? Can we just get down to it? Like, please? I mean, I'm not understanding this Lacey Evans randomness. And also in the women's front, on a different note, is there are rumors circulating. And obviously, I mean, look, if there's rumors on the internet about wrestling, you know they have to be true. So, but in all seriousness, there are rumors swirling around about Renee Young being removed from the commentary team of Monday Night Raw. I'm a bit torn on this. Do I think that Renee Young has gotten a fair shake and given enough time to breathe and develop as a Raw commentator in a three-person team, which is challenging in and of itself, even for the most experienced of Raw wrestling play-by-play and color people? I don't want to call them men. I want to call them people. I'll just use that because got to be PC. But I'll be honest, I don't feel that Renee adds a lot to Monday Night Raw. And I'm not saying that for the perspective of being a guy. Number one, I'm not a fan of the three-person booth anyway. To me, it's two. Color and play-by-play. End of story. But WWE, if they end up removing Renee Young, we'll probably get pushback because she's a woman and there's no diversity on the commentary team. And, I mean, I understand that in today's super sensitive, everybody has a voice and has to be equally represented world, that everybody's entitled. But at the same time, I really don't think that that Renee adds a lot to the commentary team. She just doesn't. And it's not a knock on Renee. I think she was an awesome interviewer. She had the, what was that show she had on the WWE Network? Unfiltered. I think she did a great job there. She was a great backstage interviewer with wrestlers. She was believable. She has a great camera presence. And it's just a different form of audio that Renee Young is involved with now. It's snippets of her voice rather than long form audio. And maybe that's not where she shines. And there's no shame in that if they remove her. But I just at this point in time, I don't think she adds anything to the Raw commentary team. If and this is, again, coming on the heels of Booker T, who I think was a complete disaster on Monday night. And some people found him entertaining. I did not find him entertaining. He took away from the show and he has been removed. I did not like Byron Saxton on Raw, although he is flourishing in a big way on SmackDown Live, in my opinion. Byron Saxton has to be one of the most improved commentary individuals of the last 2 years. I really think that he has done a great job over at SmackDown Live, and he's found a home there. So more power to him. But to me, it should be Corey Graves and Michael Cole and end there. I'm a fan of the two-person booth. Otherwise, it gets sloppy at times, having to navigate between individuals' comments, making sure you don't step on the play-by-play guy, but adding your two cents. It's a very tough road to travel every single week. And I don't think that Renee adds a whole lot. And I think she has an amazing talent in what she does with interviewing and her Unfiltered show I loved. She just right now does not seem to be a good fit. I feel like I'm firing her. Isn't that when you get brought in the office and we just don't think you're a good fit? I feel like, oh boy, I feel like I'm firing Renee, but I'm not. This is just rumors circulating, of course, but just my thoughts. All right. Well, guys, again, I'm in travel mode, which means you will be getting another show tomorrow night on SmackDown Live, which is airing as we speak. But I will be watching it tomorrow and then giving you guys an evening podcast review show on SmackDown Live. And I'm looking forward to that. As always, guys, until then, I'll talk to you next time.
Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5. Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5.